Reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21.
May the words of my mouth,
the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting.
Our strength,
divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages.
It is nice to be back. 2 weeks away. I appreciate.
Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
My mother-in-law Mary,
and at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each.
The opportunity
amazed
to collect,
and astonished, they asked,
to connect with my family a little bit
in Galileans?
Moment.
And how is it we hear each of us?
As most of you probably know, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and
Parthians, Medes,
and while back
Elamites,
on her feet and
residents
recovering
of Mesopotamia,
from surgery,
Judea and Cappadocia,
that surgery did really reveal some
Asia,
bad news.
Phrygia and
so
Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya
process.
Belonging to Cyrene,
and
visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power.
There was some
all
jockeying
were
for scriptures,
and perplexed,
though, in
saying
a moment
to one another,
there.
What does this mean? But others sneered and said, they are filled with new
according
wine.
According to the
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them.
As a Christian church,
men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say.
And
indeed,
when I realized
these
that
are not
I was
drunk as you suppose,
for
it is only 9 o'clock in the morning.
I love Pentecost.
No,
it's my
this is
favorite.
What is spoken
so
through the prophet Joel.
So I had this little conversation
in
with Mary.
In the last
Mary,
days it will
said,
be,
oh,
God
I
declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men
and
shall see visions,
I said, after
and
the
your old
fight,
men shall dream dreams.
We decided,
dreams.
Wait a minute, this is the United
Even
Church.
Upon my
we can,
slaves, both men
we can
and women,
do this differently.
In those
we can
days
both
I will
have
pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
So where are you thinking of going with it? Oh,
and
the Tower of Babel, definitely the Tower of Babel. I said, well, have the Tower
below,
of Babel. I'm going to do the Pentecost Acts 2 thing. You can babble on, but I'm going
to
speak in tongues.
Before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
In typical United Church fashion,
is saying to the church,
we could just change the calendar. I mean, time, we all know that time in life is, malleable. With God, there is only this moment, and with God, there is eternity. So, just change the calendar. Change time. So, today is Pentecost. The Spirit celebrated, whose activity by its very nature is almost impossible to find words for. Wind and flame was Luke's way of putting it. Still small voice is one we've heard. Comforter, advocate. The Hebrew word is ruach, which even kind of sounds like it, right? Ruach. Literally means breath. God's ruach swept over the waters of creation from the very beginning, cosmic breath, breathing life into the universe. God blew ruach into the first dust of the earth, and the story goes, humans had life in them. Well, do you think that God's ruach, God's breath spirit is here right now? Do we really think so? God's spirit is a wondrous thing, you know, always and everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere, on every dimension. It is in the voice lifted in song, it's there. It is in every breath we take. It is in every thought we have, every feeling we feel. It does things in the midst of all that, God's Spirit. It carries God's love and healing and joins us together into families and communities. It is active in the space between us, the relationships of our lives, healing, giving courage to change, giving strength to voice the truth, creating safe space for big questions to be posed, even if they're a little frightening, and the courage to follow them through. That's all the activity of the Spirit. I want you to imagine for a moment that the gospel, the good news, is just like the seeds that we described in the children's time. The gospel, the good news, the gospel love, that thing. I know that it may be hard for some of you who like to pluck up, root out dandelions in your lawn or spray them with toxic chemicals so they go away. But gospel, love, and weed actually have a lot in common. If you have tried to eradicate those things you find pesky, you'll just have to imagine a little harder. Imagine this gospel love as that dandelion, starting as a seed, and that seed finds fertile soil, and it can find it just about anywhere. It is a tenacious seed, isn't it? Most unlikely conditions, harshest environments, and there it is. And it grows into a plant, gets bigger and older. And when it's ready, you can see the fruits of this gospel love in full color, bright. And then it gets older, and the elements have their way on it, and it wilts. But there is a ball of potential and information and possibility. That's when it's most ripe and ready. And then one day when it's just ready and the wind is just right, all those little bits of fluff carry seeds. They're blowing free and they fly until this gospel love, which is a free floater, uncontrollable, only carried on the Spirit wind, lands where it lands. The Spirit blows where it wills, and we do not know. The gospel love, that kind of weed. Think about the lives of those disciples and how this gospel happened for them. God's gospel love was wandering along a beach in Galilee, and it called a few fisher folk, and they came. And it found fertile soil among those women and men, especially among those who were living in harsh environments, for whom life had been hard, the poor, those on the margins, prostitutes, tax collectors, people living in social isolation, struggling with the harsh economic and political conditions. And the gospel love reached into these troubled times, floated into these troubled times and troubled lives, and landed with a word of dignity and respect and tenderness and strength and hope. That's what God planted there. That gospel love was all those things. And that gospel love, having taken root in their lives and imaginations, was nurtured by teachings, by Jesus' life, demonstrated in the way that he treated people, the way that he spoke to people, the way that he stuck up for people, against Roman and religious rule keeping. And so the gospel love grew in them, flourished in them, came to full and hope-filled flower in them. And then after a time, it was tested, mightily tested, by this death experience. Not just death, but struggle and pain and death. Jesus' death. The life giver's death. The gospel bearer's death. And this gospel love, well, it withered in them for a time. It looked like he was gone. But actually, it wasn't. That harsh experience did not destroy, it transformed. It didn't look anything like it did before, but under the heat of struggle and grief, it did not die. It actually ripened. The struggle, the grief, the pain, seemingly so pointless, was the very thing that took the gospel love from full flower to seed bundle, loose and ready. And that's when Pentecost happened. These are the same people on Pentecost Day, the same fisher folks, same prostitutes, tax collectors, limping and lovely, who have been caught up in gospel love, put through trial, and now are ready. They probably don't even know it themselves that they're ready. But the gospel seed, the gospel love is ready in them, ready to burst. And then the Spirit blows, fills the room, fills the place, fills all hearts and minds, creates language and understanding where all before had been babble, breaking down walls of power that before had been separating people, and the seeds of gospel love then scattered once again. Only this time, it scattered in the hearts and minds and lives and voices of those original ones. They who had been the soil have now become the seed bearer, carried on the winds of Ruach, God's breath, blowing in them, carrying this gospel love in them to fertile soil. And it lands. And we've heard the stories. It lands in Lydia's community, in Philippi. It lands in the heart of the Roman soldier. It lands, by extension and over time, it lands in that blue church on Main Street in Penticton, where I first caught it. Or on the prairie soil where you may have experienced it. Or on the streets of Wally, where the gospel love is experienced through food off the back of a truck. Or in a clothing closet, it lands. It's carried by the Spirit and lands. Friends, where did you first experience this gospel love? How would you tell the story of the seed of gospel love that exists in your life? At this moment, are you fertile soil just waiting for it to land somehow longingly? Waiting for that purpose, direction, meaning to land and take root in your life? Are you in that new place of feeling the gospel love afresh and new? The good news growing in your life? Is it springtime for you? With the message, the good news, alive and growing, expanding in new learnings, new opportunities, new way of seeing the world, new life of prayer. Are you going through the trial, the dark night, the life and death experience that threatens the whole thing, and it all feels so fragile? Or are you on the other side of that, where this gospel love, this faith that has been planted in your heart and your life has grown and faced the slings and arrows and sits ripe and full, held loosely, ready to ride the winds wherever they may take it? Well, I believe that our faith has that kind of life cycle to it. And I'm convinced that we live this cycle over and over again. It's never quite the same each time. I remember, I took undergraduate studies at UBC, and I took a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology and Religious Studies, and I was 18 years old, and I was ready to leave home, but I wasn't ready to have a successful university career. And so, yes, I learned and I passed and I actually did okay. That was the first time around. Some years later, I went back and I was ready in a different way, and it was an utterly different experience. It was the same thing, only I was different. Another turn of the wheel, but different. So it is with this cycle of faith, with the gospel love we carry. Today we celebrate a moment in that cycle when we feel the winds of God, the breath of God, the ruach, shake us from the place we have been and lift us and send us anew. We celebrate the moment when the gospel love is ready and potent. And I'm not talking about the kind of evangelical sharing of the gospel message, ascending out in order to save souls. That's not what I'm talking about at all. That's why I've used the phrase gospel love consistently. I'm talking about a gospel love, a kind of a love that is fresh and powerful and courageous that we see in Jesus and we've seen in other places as well, that can face anything with grace and strength. A tenacious dandelion weed type of love that takes root in the cracks of unjust systems and changes them. I'm talking about a love that's in you. A love that changes lives, that has the potential to change the world. And somewhere along the line, it's ready. And we feel ruach, the breath of spirit, and it will lift us with a new endeavor and land us in a new phase of our life, so that there, that love might flourish and make its divine difference. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, blow on this field of disciples as we are ready, carry this love that you have stirred within us to the place where it is most deeply needed. By your Spirit, let it make all manner of loving difference. Amen.